Hello and welcome again to Hacker Public Radio. I'm Pokey and I'm pleased to be your host for today. Today is going to be just a quick, I hope, little episode. It's going to be a review of the Sansa Clip Plus as a recording device. This is going to be the third HPR episode that I've recorded, though it may only be the second one to air, with the Clip Plus, with Rockbox installed, actually. I have to say that as a recording device, I actually kind of like it. As a player, I think it's really actually garbage. It's one of the worst MP3 players I've owned with the stock firmware on it. It's just not good for a whole lot of reasons, and I don't really like it as an MP3 player. It's only real, well, two, three? It's only real upsides as an MP3 player are it's small, so it fits in a shirt pocket really well and really comfortably. It's much smaller than I thought, and it's much more comfortable in a shirt pocket than I thought because it's super, super, super lightweight. I really like that about it. It's fairly inexpensive. That's on the plus side. And it has the SD card slot, which is really a nice benefit to it. I'd like to say that Rockbox is one of its benefits, that the ability for you to put Rockbox on it is a benefit, but that's, you know, not attributable to SanDisk. That's attributable to the Rockbox folks and the good work that they do. With Rockbox on it, it's a slightly better MP3 player. It's certainly better than most of the MP3 players that I've had. But even with Rockbox on it, unfortunately, it just doesn't hold a candle to the Cohen iAudio 7 that I used to use. I only stopped using that because it physically broke. It's physically broken inside. A switch broke, fell apart. I wore the thing out. I had that for a long time, and I do kind of dirty work sometimes. I've had that thing full of concrete dust. I've had it full of sweat, full of rainwater. And every time I broke it, I was able to take it apart, clean it out, clean off contacts, scrape stuff out, and it would start working again and it would work perfectly. The Cohen iAudio 7 was the best MP3 player I've ever had. I would have bought another one, except you can't even get them on eBay anymore. I would have bought an iAudio 9, except they seem to have gone to a, what in America would seem to be a proprietary connector. I guess it's a mandatory connector for Korea. I don't know if it's North or South Korea where it's made, but apparently everything they sell in Korea has to have a standardized connector on it, and it is that. And it's very similar to, I think it's similar to a mini USB, but it's slightly different, and it may or may not be compatible. If it is not compatible, then I have no use for the player. I do not want a proprietary charging cable or a proprietary connector. No matter how good the player is, I'm not willing to put up with that. I just will not tolerate it. It may be compatible with mini USB or micro USB. I don't know, and I'm not laying out $120 to find out. If anybody does know and wants to contact me and let me know, that'd be fantastic. But for the time being, I've got this SanDisk Sansa Clip Plus. And like I said, it's not the greatest MP3 player. Even with Rockbox, it does have its glitches here and there. There are some good things that it does, and there are some bad things that it does. And you have to, like with any piece of technology, especially a gadget, you have to learn to work around the things that don't work for you. And I've mostly learned to work around everything that this does. My biggest personal gripe with it is that I cannot fully use all of its features, like its playback features, without looking at it. It would be really nice if I could never have to look at the thing and just use it by feel. And I could do that with the Cohen and the iAudio 7. I could do it with most every other player I've ever had. This one occasionally gets into a screen where you're at a menu and you didn't really intend to be in a menu and you're just trying to pause it to take the earbud out of your ear and listen to somebody talk. And very often I'll have to just take the earbud out and drop it and get back to it and rewind. That's a pain in the neck. The other complaint with Rockbox, complaint, feature request, whatever. I know other people have requested it, so don't, you know, I don't need an email saying, why aren't you putting in a bug request? I've heard that other people are requesting it. It does not have an audible fast forward and rewind feature. When you hold down fast forward or rewind, and I'm not talking about track skip, I'm just talking about scanning through the file, you can't hear anything. The audio goes dead, so you have no clue as to how far forward or how far back you're going. You can take it out of your pocket, you can look at the display, you can watch the timer and get a good idea of that, but you can't do it without looking. That may be because the fast forward and the rewind are progressive. The longer you hold fast forward or rewind, the faster it goes forward or backwards, which is a really a nice feature. But whether that doesn't behave well with an audible indicator as to how far back you've gone or how far forward you've gone, or whether they chose that instead, I would personally rather have the auditory feedback. Sometimes when you turn it off or when you pause it and it powers itself down and you turn it back on, it will auto resume in the wrong file. Auto resume I love, and most of the time it does. It auto resumes right where it was when I powered it down, but sometimes it will auto resume itself in the wrong file, and it could be any random number of time steps into a file that I'd never even played before. I don't know how it decides to do that, but that doesn't work quite right. And I think that's it. I think those are the only things about Rockbox that make it negative. Other than that, it's all back down just to the basic hardware being kind of too tiny to feel to use without looking at it. And I usually can use it without looking at it. But every once in a while, you bump something and don't know what you've bumped. So you don't know where from, you know, your starting point you wound up. Mostly that's due to the hardware not having a physical lock, like a switch that you flip that locks its functions, or a button that you hold down for so long that it disables all the buttons on it for a little bit. That's the cause of a lot of that, but that's hardware. Rockbox has just the flaws that I've listed as far as I can think. And everything else that Rockbox does is incredible. It's astonishing to me how many features they've packed into that firmware. And it takes this cheap little crippled MP3 player and turns it into a real MP3 player, a respectable audio media device. It plays back MP3s, it plays back AUGs, it plays back speaks, it plays back wave. It's just incredible the capability that they've added to it. But this review is, and it's been a long preamble up to this, is using the Sansa Clip as a recording device. I'm recording on it now. I'm using Rockbox. The Rockbox has a whole plethora of settings that you can use while you're recording. The one that I'm happiest about is, there's two that I'm happiest about. It's a tie. Output format, I really appreciate that you have a choice of your output format. It will output an MP3, WavePack, AIFF, and WAV, WAV. I do not know what WavePack is. I don't know what AIFF is. I think that's the Apple one, maybe. Personally, I don't have any need to output to MP3 because I'm going to be editing stuff anyway. So WAV is my choice, but I really appreciate that they've given you the other choices. If I wasn't interested in editing, if I just wanted to clip this someplace handy, you know, and record while I was driving, you know, a la Dave Yates or like Mr. Gadgets does with his phone-in episodes, which are fantastic, by the way. Thank you for those, Mr. Gadgets. I thoroughly enjoy every single one of them. If you just wanted to do that, it's perfect for that. And it spits out an MP3 file when you're done. And you're done. You can rename the file. You can go in later with a tag editor and edit the tags if you need to do that. But otherwise, it just spits out an MP3. What more can you ask for? The same if you needed it in AIFF or WavePack. Those are really nice features. The other great feature that it has is that you can choose the bitrate, or excuse me, not the bitrate, the sample rate. I'm recording this at 44.1 kilohertz, and it had choices all the way down to 8 kilohertz and all the way up to, 93 or 96 kilohertz. That was really, really great. Another nice feature that this has, and this may be overlooked, is that it will output to your headphones everything that's coming in through the microphone. That I have some ideas on that I'll come back to later. You can record in stereo, you can record in mono, you can record in stereo left, you can record in stereo right, which I imagine would output a silent track. If you, like, say, recorded the stereo left, I believe your recording would be on the left channel and the right channel would be silence. And by silence, I mean mechanical silence. There would be zero, nothing, you know, no value, which is cool if you want to add to it later. So if you wanted to record, you know, for instance, a guitar and then play that back later, you know, through some set of speakers and then sing to it, whatever. I don't know. I'm not a musician, but I could see that someone might appreciate that. I saw settings in there for there was stuff about clipping. There was stuff in there. It just more stuff than I needed to get into. And I may do a little bit more research and read the documentation and see what all those things are. But certainly there was more in there than I needed to output this particular show or the other two that I've already done or the other couple that I'm planning on doing. As far as downsides to recording with Rockbox, there's some background noise. There's, for some reason, there seems to be some internal noise, some interference that's happening that is being recorded because I've heard it on playback. I'm not sure what causes it. I'm not sure how to eliminate it at the time of recording. I am able to use Audacity and filter it out just using their standard noise filter, which is pretty easy to use. But I don't know how to get rid of it beforehand so that I wouldn't have to do that. There is a lot more noise when the display is illuminated. Now, whether it's coming from the light itself or whether it's coming from whatever signals go into the display, I don't know, but it is recording it. You can hear it in your headphones while you're recording, and you can hear it afterwards. What you're listening to now has been run through Audacity and has been run through the filter in there, the noise removal filter, so you're not hearing full on what it's like, but you may be able to detect a little something in the silence. Actually, in fact, just to make sure you know what it is, I'll cut a little bit of it in right here. Here's the noise that you get out of it with the display on. And here it is with the display, it's just switched off. And it kind of comes and goes like that every 10 or so seconds. So that's what it sounds like. That's what you get during your recording and during your playback if you don't edit that sound out. Actually, that's its only real main detraction. Other than starting it and stopping it, it's not ergonomically obvious what buttons you press to start and stop your recording and to exit the recording function. It seems like what I've done to start it was press the home key, and if you press the home key again, it will stop your recording briefly, end the file, and begin a new recording. While you've got it stopped, if you hit the power button twice quickly, it will exit the recorder. That seems to be what I've done to make it work. While you're in the recorder, it's pretty cool, actually. You can move the cursor up and down through a small menu in there while it's recording. You can adjust the volume of the headphones while you're listening, so you can turn that up and down, and you can adjust the microphone gain. This particular recording is set at a gain of 3.0. I tried it with a gain of 1.5 and a gain of 0, and they're very quiet, and I had to adjust the gain back up in Audacity. So this is partly a test. This is at gain 3.0, plus 3.0 decibels. Oh, the other negative, a big negative of the Sansa Clip Plus as a recording device is handling noise. It's got a tremendous amount of handling noise. It is not a microphone. You know, it's not a professional microphone. It's got no sound isolation, no noise isolation built into it. It's got no noise cancellation built into it. So any little noise that you make, it's going to pick up. Any little motion that you make with your hand while you're holding it, it's going to pick up. You're going to hear it. What I've done to try to eliminate that handling noise is I'm wearing a baseball cap, which I almost never wear. I hate wearing baseball caps. I'm doing this just for you people. I hope you appreciate it. I've got it clipped to the brim of the baseball hat because the Sansa Clip is called so because it has a clip built into it. So I've got it clipped onto the center of the bill of the cap, the baseball cap, and to the top of it so that the screen is pointing up, effectively pointing the microphone down towards my mouth where the sound's coming out of me. And that seems to work pretty well. And as long as I don't jump around or move around too much, I mean, there, if I shake my head a little, you're probably hearing a little something there. If I, you know, wiggle my eyebrows so the hat moves, you'll get that. But mostly it's pretty well eliminated just by doing that because you're not moving your hands around on it. But anyway, while you're using it, it's got a menu you can cycle up and down through, and you can adjust the volume, you can adjust the gain, and the file name you can highlight. Knowing Rockbox, you probably can rename the thing. You can probably rename the file. Probably you can do it while it's recording, but you know, I'd be willing to bet you can rename the file when you're done recording or before you start recording. I just haven't taken the time to figure out how to do that, because it's easier to do on a real keyboard anyway. When you use Rockbox to record, it saves the file on the root directory of the player's internal memory. To me, that's a slight negative. I would prefer that it would save the file to the SD card so that I don't have to plug the MP3 player in, but it doesn't do that. It saves to the root directory. So now it's only slightly negative because I don't actually have to plug the MP3 player in to get the audio off of it. Rockbox has the ability to handle files like a regular file manager. You can cut and paste the file from the internal memory to the SD card, or if you're concerned, you can copy and paste it and then go back and delete the original file later. It takes a little bit of time to copy a big file, like a long recording, but who cares? That's better than plugging it in. And the reason that it's better than plugging it in is because if you have the MP3 player powered off, or if you've got Rockbox settings set so that when you plug it in, it powers Rockbox down. If you plug it in with a USB cable to a computer, or even to a wall charger, the stock Sansa firmware starts up. And every time that firmware starts up from being plugged into a cable, and every time it starts up after being plugged into a cable, it goes through and it rebuilds its database. It takes quite a bit of time if you've got a lot of files on there. It can take some time to rebuild the database. So you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. That's a downside to the Sansa stock firmware. The other downside to the Sansa stock firmware, if you're running Rockbox, is that it creates file folders, it creates directories that I don't use and I usually delete because they just get in the way and slow me down. It's really stupid. It'll create, for instance, on the micro SD card, it'll create an audiobooks directory, and it'll create a podcast directory, and it'll create a music directory. Inside the music directory, it creates another podcast directory and another audiobook directory. I don't know what the point of that is. I don't know why it does that. Those directories are there and they can confuse you because, oh, there's my audiobooks. No, I guess it's not. I got to back up two folders. And no, I know it's not a big deal, but to have to do that several times a day can really get annoying and frustrating. What I've done is I don't keep music on the SD card and I don't keep audiobooks and podcasts on the internal memory. So I only ever had to put music on it once. And then from the internal memory, I can delete the podcast folder, the audiobook folder, the Audible folder. I don't need that. And basically every folder except for the music folder. And then from within that music folder, I can delete the unnecessary podcast folder and the unnecessary audiobook folder. On the SD card, I just delete the music folder and I'm left with audiobooks and podcasts. So I got everything I need. To avoid having to plug it in and deal with all that, I'll just turn it off after having cut and pasted the recording to the SD card. I'll just turn it off, take the SD card out, pop that into a computer, and do my file transfers and manipulation there. That I like doing. Now, I did use the stock firmware to do some recording. If you don't want to mess with Rockbox and you just want to record from the Clip Plus with the stock Sansa firmware, you're actually going to get a pretty good recording out of it. It doesn't have, for whatever reason, that background noise that happens to be there when you record with Rockbox. It's not there. I don't know why that is. I would be interested in finding out why and in maybe submitting a bug to Rockbox so that that background noise could be eliminated, because if it weren't for that, it would be almost a perfect recorder. It'd be darn near perfect. It'd be great. The downsides to, the other upside actually to recording with the stock firmware is it still outputs a WAV file. You don't have a choice as to what kind of file it outputs to, so it's going to be WAV and you can't choose MP3 or anything else. But for a default choice, WAV, in my opinion, is the best one. You don't lose any audio, you don't use any resolution from it. It's the most compatible with the most number of systems. I understand it's a large file, but whatever. This thing's got 2, 4, or 8 gig of internal memory, depending on how much you pay for it. I don't think file size is too much of a concern. If it is, buy an SD card and move some stuff off onto the SD card. Make some room. It shouldn't be that tough. The other downside to the stock firmware is it will not output audio to the headphones while you're recording. Now, that may be fine. I'm not using it right now. I've got it clipped to the rim of my ball cap, and I'm just trusting that it's picking up what I'm doing because it's worked several times before. If I were doing interviews with this, I would want headphones. I would want to make sure that I'm picking up audio. To have that positive feedback on a file that you care about and you're only going to have one shot, a recording that you're only going to have one shot at, that particular feature is invaluable. And for that reason alone, I would choose to use the Rockbox firmware over the stock firmware. That said, that's how it records with the one or with the other. Now, what I wanted to get back to would be doing interviews. I think it would be a really great idea to build a small handle similar to a microphone and have a piece at the top of the handle with like a flat part, a bit of flat, maybe plastic, and wrap it with some real nice high density foam, and maybe even insulate the flat plastic from the handle with some high density foam, something that'll really absorb some sound. But to do that and then clip the Sansa clip onto the end of it, I think the thing could be an all-in-one microphone slash recording slash monitoring device. You would, of course, need to find some way to fasten the headphone cable to the handle in such a way that it would isolate noise, maybe down the center of it. Maybe it could come out the back that way somehow. You might even be able to build a cable into the handle that had a male headphone plug on one end and a female headphone jack on the other, so that when you clipped the clip onto your little handle, you could plug that in to the clip and then plug your headphones into the back end of that. You could walk around a conference with this thing working as if it were a real microphone, just recording everything. If you had a couple of SD cards with you and, you know, just transferred the stuff off as you started to fill it up, you could get everything. You could do recordings all day. It would be small enough to fit in a pocket. You know, you wouldn't have to carry any extra gear with you. You're already carrying your MP3 player and your headphones. I can see that from where I'm sitting. You know, all you'd have to do is make this little handle. I plan on making one. I'm not exactly certain how I'm going to make it, what I'm going to do. But as a starter idea, I'm probably going to take a wooden dowel, maybe like a inch and a half, inch and three quarter, 2-inch wooden dowel, whatever's comfortable. Drill out the center of it and maybe find some kind of piece of plastic. The plastic I'm thinking of that I think would work really great. It almost looks like it's made of recycled milk bottles maybe, but it's like thick white plastic, and you get it a lot of times with 3-ring binders. They use it as like a sheet lifter. I've made a bunch of stuff out of that plastic. I've used that for a lot of different things. It's real easy to work with. You can cut it with a utility knife. You can cut it with like electrician scissors are a real nice thing to have, or any kind of sturdy scissors that have serrated teeth to them. You can bend it. You can heat it and form it and mold it. I think that stuff would be great as a starting point. But if you were to make something that looked like the shape of like a flat square lollipop out of that plastic stuff and put it down inside the handle, you know, like what would be the stick of the lollipop, what would look like that, put it down inside that wooden dowel handle, run the headphone cable up next to it, and then, you know, wrap the whole thing with some kind of high density foam and glued it in place. I think you'd have a pretty well isolated and sound insulated device that you could hang your Sansa clip off of. Or you could use maybe that expanding foam, that great stuff, I think is the market name of it. You could put everything together in there with your little audio cable and everything, and then fill that handle with great stuff. And I think you'd have a really nice recording device. I think you'd get some really respectable recordings out of that. So that's what I'm going to try. I don't know when I'm going to get around to it. And I just thought I'd get the idea out there to anyone else, you know, in Hacker Public Radio who's going to any fests. Hopefully, you know, if you think it's a good idea and you want to give it a shot, there'll be time enough to do that. And you could grab some content for HPR. I think that'd be fantastic. If I get it to work, I can take some pictures of it, of the build, post those up on Picasa or something, if it works. I have no idea if it's going to work. It may not work. But if it does, I think it's a really cheap way to get this thing done. That's the real beauty of the Sansa clip, is it's low cost and high capacity. Dollar per gigabyte is a good return on your investment. You know, all its other faults, you know, Rockbox kind of just chugs away at fixing. That's it. That's my idea for the Sansa clip as a recording device. That's my review of the Sansa clip as a recording device. If you're looking for a low cost recorder and you don't want to plunk your money down on like one of those micro cassette things because they're kind of useless and you still have to transfer it, or a little digital recorder because it doesn't have enough capacity and maybe even it's got a lot of handling noise anyway, this is not a bad way to go. It does seem to be a pretty decent thing to do. That's my review. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a great day.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.
Oh, by the way, we need some episodes. I can say that we're running low on episodes and then put this episode out at any time, because that statement is always true. We are always short of episodes of Hacker Public Radio. We are always dangerously close to running out and having to run syndicated material on a day where we're not scheduled to run syndicated material. If you are a fan of Hacker Public Radio, please help us to keep it alive. If you're the kind of person that steps up to a dare or a challenge, then I challenge you to record a Hacker Public Radio. It can be on any topic. I'm sure the other listeners would appreciate hearing from you more than they hear from me. They probably heard enough from me already.